Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Brian Peacock with you on another Monday edition, Mock Draft Monday. Multiple mock drafts to look at today, including the Twitter Quarantine Mock Part 3 that ran Saturday on Twitter. Listeners and followers on Twitter had a chance to vote for every pick. There was a little trade involved there. We'll get into that draft and we'll see how things go and see how different they were from the first two iterations of the Quarantine Mock, which means we're in the third week of this quarantine and a little stir crazy. But we have mock drafts to get us by. We'll take a quick peek at Joe Marino's latest mock draft from the Draft Network. I also did a full first round projection. If you want to hear the whole thing, you can listen to today's Mock Draft Monday episode on Locked On NFL, and I go through the entire first round with trades. I will talk a little bit about that one. So we've got three mock drafts to cover on today's episode. Some news about some prospects the 49ers are meeting with, and Niners GM John Lynch has a message to the faithful. We won't most likely have any time to hit any mailbag questions, but keep those coming. We'll hit them definitely throughout the rest of the week at BD Peacock on Twitter. You can email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And of course, you can find this podcast on all of your favorite podcast apps. A couple quick bits of news before we get into the mocking. I wanted to talk about Friday, but didn't have time. Is Jay Glazer during a Q&A for The Athletic said about the rumors that San Francisco is talking trade with Cleveland for Odell Beckham Jr. He said, quote, "Nope, no truth to that. Sorry, gang. I know the 49ers loved him, but they are trying to rebuild draft capital, not give up draft capital." So Jay Glazer, NFL insider, says no go on OBJ to SF. And that's not super surprising. There's a couple of reasons why Odell to the 49ers doesn't make a lot of sense. First of all, would Cleveland be willing to give him up for a huge discount after 1 year? The 49ers would definitely not be offering, even if they were really interested and made an offer to Cleveland for Odell, they wouldn't be offering more and probably a lot less than they did to the New York Giants and a lot less than what Cleveland just gave up to get Odell Beckham. And if Cleveland is willing to take this huge discount to get rid of Odell Beckham, what does that say about Beckham that two teams in a row, a year apart from each other, want this guy off of their team more than they want him on the team? So very skeptical of the whole story from the start. Glazer says nothing to this, which makes a lot more sense. And who knows, the 49ers maybe could be interested in someone like Odell down the road, but got that number 13 pick. I think that they're very interested in a wide receiver there. They still do have a hole at wide receiver. And it's not to say that it's insane to think the 49ers could be interested still in some veteran receivers around the league as they were when they traded for Emmanuel Sanders. Because what do they have in-house now that they didn't have aside from Travis Benjamin when they felt the need to trade for Emmanuel Sanders? And now Sanders gone. So the wide receiver situation for the 49ers is a little bit curious, but the Odell stuff, it just doesn't seem to be right. And if he was available, I think it's a huge red flag that a team would want to, again, give up Odell Beckham. Would you want to take on that type of a headache? We have the opportunity to just go draft a really good, cheaper, young player and develop your own potential next OBJ. Speaking of trades, there is one player potentially that could be traded. Well, there's multiple players, probably Marquise Goodwin, one of them. Kyle Shanahan himself said he would think about trading, or he was trying to trade rather than cut Marquise Goodwin, which was still, I can't believe you said that. But Matt Breida might be having some interest around the league. There was apparently one team that had interest in signing Breida. That's why the 49ers put that second round tender on Breida. So that would ensure either he didn't leave town, or if he did, they would get compensation for it. And there was some reported interest in Matt Breida by the Eagles last year. I don't know if that was the team that was looking to sign him in this offseason, so the 49ers potentially could be talking trade, maybe swing a deal with the team that was looking to add a running back and wanted to sign Matt Breida. Maybe they can trade him and do a little tender and trade situation. They wouldn't get a second rounder, I can't imagine, for Matt Breida, who really didn't even touch the ball and have any role in the Super Bowl. But the 49ers, at this point, probably, I mean, you can read the tea leaves. It would make sense if the 49ers were listening on Matt Breida with the way things finished during the season. rather than the way they started and the way he looked, you know, with that home run against the Browns, which is one of my favorite plays from the 49ers season. Just a haymaker right there. Just a, it was not even a knockout shot of the Browns early in that game. It was sort of a statement to the league because everyone's like, oh, wait, the Browns are good now. Monday Night Football, let's see you play a good team. And then they just beat down the Browns. National TV, it was one of those moments where everyone sort of started to really take notice of the 49ers last year and how good they actually were. And I really like Matt Breida. I think he's one of the top two running backs currently on the roster. Got into the doghouse a little bit with some dropsies. He did have a, I think it was the Pittsburgh game where he had a pass bounce off his hands and it got picked off. Niners were able to come back from that Pittsburgh game, but I mean, he pretty much got passed up by everybody on the roster at running back over the course of the year. And I think the fumbleitis issues, he had three key fumbles in a short stretch that really hurt him. I like Matt Breida. I would like to keep him around, but if he's going to be your third or fourth running back and someone's going to offer something in trade, you absolutely have to listen to that offer if you're the 49ers. And if he does end up somewhere else and it's a nice situation, I'll probably be drafting Matt Breida on my fantasy football teams next year. But for now, still a San Francisco 49er. John Lynch had a message for 49ers fans, letting people know a little glimpse actually into his home office and how he's watching film at home. And unfortunately, I couldn't get a read on his computer screen. It looked like some sort of a spreadsheet on his computer screen. Man, I really just want to see full draft boards, specifically the 49ers, but any team. I know the Dallas Cowboys in recent years a couple times have had some photos and some leaks of what their draft board looked like, and it's always so interesting to me to see what really a team's draft board looks like and how their draft actually falls. But I wasn't able to see anything on his screen. Who knows what it even was? Could have been, I don't know, a dinner recipe. I don't know. But John Lynch, social distancing, working from home, watching tape. We'll get into the prospect that might have been on the very screen he was watching. I think we did get some insight to at least one prospect the 49ers might be a little bit interested in. It's funny that they've met with a certain prospect who was also on John Lynch's TV screen. But here was a portion of his message to 49ers fans.
Faithful, how are you? It's your general manager, John Lynch. I wanted to take this opportunity on behalf of the 49ers organization to thank the many men and women that have been on the front line in this virus pandemic. The nurses, the doctors, the healthcare workers, the police, the firemen, all, everybody on the front line, the people at the grocery stores that are going every day, the essential workers, we can't thank you enough. I also want to let you know, a lot of people have lost or are losing their jobs. Our hearts and our thoughts and our prayers are with you. We've had a lot of questions about how we're operating during these times. And the answer is we're doing our best and we're working from home. And we've had a great team effort to be able to pull that together. Thanks a lot. You guys be strong. Stay at home. Stay safe. And a saying that we have in the Niners building is, I got your back. And at this time, I think never has that been more important to have everybody else's back.
Nice sentiment there from John Lynch. Having each other's back. Can definitely agree with that. And looking at his screen, he's watching film of draft prospects. And I think I know exactly what prospect he might have been watching in that clip from the University of Kentucky. More on him and a few other prospects the 49ers have been or are meeting with coming up. We will get to the mock draft results. First, I want to thank Matt Barrows of The Athletic, friend of the program, for curating the list of the players that the 49ers have or will be visiting. And the official, the 30 visits, as they're called, are going to be a little bit different this year for the 49ers and every team around the NFL. They're going to be Zoom calls. They're going to be Skype calls. They're going to be much the same that a lot of us are doing with family and friends and maybe getting together and not able to do things in person, but still having some meetings and still having some work meetings. And this for the 49ers is their work during the spring and for the next month leading up to the draft. You still get 30 official visits with prospects, but instead of being in person, these are going to be over teleconference, it looks like. So I don't know what the physical portion of it and the medical portion of things are going to look like for teams other than those checks that players got at the combine. So it's still going to be a little bit more of a difficult process, but they do have the opportunity to have a chat face-to-face or somewhat face-to-face with some prospects. And just to look back a little bit at some players the 49ers had on their official 30 visits in the past, Nick Bosa, Deebo Samuel, Jalen Hurd all came to Santa Clara last year, and then Dante Pettis and Fred Warner the year before. So all three of their first picks in the 2019 draft came and had a visit with the 49ers, and then two of their first three picks the following year. And McGlinchey was somebody they definitely met with at the combine. I know that the year before. There has been reports that the 49ers met with Henry Ruggs, wide receiver out of Alabama, the speedster, 4.27 at the combine this year. But Barrows has a list here of some players that the 49ers will be meeting with or have met with. And the one that was on John Lynch's screen in that video he posted on Twitter was Lynn Bowden. He is a receiver for the Kentucky Wildcats. And I say receiver, but he's definitely a hybrid. And you want to talk about positionless football that Kyle Shanahan likes so much. Lynn Bowden is absolutely a Kyle Shanahan type. He's got quicks. He's built like a run. He's a wide receiver that's built like a running back. He goes to about 5'10 and a half, 205 pounds, I think. So somewhat thicker than Richie James, even though his game reminds me of Richie James. Richie James would line up in the Wildcat sometimes in college. It was a former high school Wildcat style quarterback that ran the ball a lot and turned receiver. Bowden is the same type of guy for Kentucky. And actually, he ran a lot of Wildcat and even threw like 75 passes for Kentucky this year. He was their leading rusher and their leading receiver. A lot of those rushes came as a Wildcat quarterback. And I think maybe Lynn Bowden could be someone who's looked at as a full-time running back that runs routes and is split out more so than a full-time wide receiver, although he could do a little bit of both, and as a kick returner. So someone that should be around in that day three area, I think around the fifth round feels about right for Lynn Bowden. It'll really depend on how teams view him, what position they want to play him at, but he's got some thickness to him, much thicker than Richie James, even though they're the same style of player, I think. He'd be mostly a slot-type wide receiver. We know how Kyle Shanahan likes his slot receivers. Could even play some full-time running back. And speaking of Matt Breida earlier, he's no lighter than Matt Breida, 205 pounds. Breida might have gained some weight since he's been in the NFL, but 5'10 and a half and 205 is big enough to play a role at running back. They could even ask him to get stronger and bulk up a little bit. And he's obviously a very good runner of the football that you can see from watching his film. And I'm going to watch a little bit more of Lynn Bowden, but there's definitely a lot to like there and a lot to like about the way he runs. Some work to do for him to be, you know, a complete receiver if he goes the full-time wide receiver route in the NFL, which is what it looks like most teams are looking at him as. But I don't think he closed the door on running back, and definitely he'll have a role on special teams if he was drafted in the day three range. Again, the 49ers have 2 fifths, a sixth, and 2 7th round draft picks. And it looks like they're doing work on a lot of guys that could be around in that day three range. Akeem Davis Gaither, he's a linebacker from Appalachian State, undersized but speedy, good coverage guy, 6'1", 224 pounds, an athletic guard from TCU, Cordell Iwuagwu, I believe is how you pronounce his name, another athletic player, would fit nicely with that style of offense and zone scheme that the 49ers run. Daniel Thomas, a strong safety from Auburn, 5'10", 215 pounds. He ran 4.51 at the combine, strong safety. And Kenny Willekes is another one, defensive end from Michigan State. He had 16 tackles for loss, 10.5 sacks at Michigan State this past year. He posted a video on social media that Barrows put in his article that he said, quote, "Not athletic, below average athleticism for edge rusher, physical tools don't jump off the page," a bunch of quotes dogging his athleticism. And then he goes on to show this workout of him doing the splits and doing a backflip off of a wall and showing off some athletic traits and showing off a lot of flexibility. And he shows that flexibility on film too, and he's got some pretty decent size. He is 6'4", 260 pounds, so nice size, some athleticism, some flexibility as a defensive end. He did not run a 40, though, at the combine. I don't think, let me double check here really quick, but I don't think he ran a 40 at the combine. No, he did run a 40. 6'3 and a half, 264. He ran the 40 in 4.87, a 1.69 10-yard split, which is solid. and shorter arms, 31 and a quarter inch arm length for Kenny Willekes out of Michigan State. It was the linebacker Akeem Davis Gaither did not run 40 times, 6'1 and a half, 224. And Lynn Bowden, the wide receiver slash running back slash kick returner, also did not run a 40 at the combine. And two more prospects having visits with the 49ers that are not of the day three variety. These are a couple of players that might be in that late round one range at pick 31 or potentially round two if the 49ers move down a little bit. One offensive tackle, Ezra Cleveland from Boise State, who had a really fantastic workout. And whenever an offensive lineman is really athletic, Kyle Shanahan is going to be interested. 6'6", 311 pounds, and he ran the 40 sub 5 seconds, 4.93. A lot of really good workouts from offensive linemen at the combine this year. So Ezra Cleveland is a name to remember, and that's about the time he could potentially start coming off the board late round one and into round two. And then a player that I expect to start seeing a lot more, and I'm actually surprised after the trade of DeForest Buckner that we haven't seen this name more often pop up in mock drafts at pick 31 for the 49ers. That is Ross Blacklock, defensive tackle from TCU, and his calling card is his athletic ability and his ability to, you know, run on stunts and have lateral movement and have burst out of his stance for a guy who's 6'3", 300 pounds. Nice fit for that three technique, someone that would be an interior rusher for the 49ers. Needs work, I think, on his strength and ability to hold up inside on early downs, at least early in his career, even though he can do a little bit of that. But you'd be drafting Ross Blacklock for his ability to go get the quarterback and his ability as an athlete, but with size of an interior rusher. 6'3", 290 was his official measurement at the combine. Ran a 4.9 40, 29-inch vertical. Ross Blacklock from TCU. Again, seven players confirmed so far for visits. Doesn't mean the 49ers will draft these players, but there has been some connection with players the 49ers have brought in the past and players who they have drafted. And there's going to be a whole bunch more, and we're not going to hear about all of them most likely. Sometimes we hear about it after the draft that you realize they meeted with the guy, and teams would rather keep this hush, hush, hush. And agents want people to know that their clients are talking to people. Teams want all this stuff to be secret so other teams don't know the players that they like and the players that they're talking to. So sometimes there's some schadenfreude involved and they are talking to people that they don't like that much to try to throw some teams off. And maybe sometimes you learn that you don't like a guy at the meeting and that's why you take the meeting to break that tie. So again, those names so far: Ross Blacklock, defensive tackle from TCU, Ezra Cleveland, offensive tackle from Boise State, wide receiver, do-it-all, wildcat quarterback, Lynn Bowden from Kentucky, Akeem Davis Gaither, linebacker from Appalachian State, Cordell Iwuagwu, a guard from TCU, Daniel Thomas, strong safety from Auburn, and Kenny Willekes, defensive end, Michigan State. And it's funny, a few of those names were in the Twitter quarantine mock draft Saturday. None of them ended up being voted as future 49ers in that mock. We'll get to that mock. Maybe take a peek at some other mocks as well. Mock, 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 mock. It's Mock Mania on Locked On 49ers. Again, I want to tease my full first round mock where I got in the heads of 32 NFL GMs and made the pick for everybody. Three trades in that round. I talked about it on Friday, how I was surprised that the 49ers ended up with defensive tackle Derrick Brown at the 13th pick. And 49ers involved with the trade also in that draft. But you're going to have to listen to Monday's episode of Locked On NFL, which, if you're not already subscribed to that podcast, what are you even doing to hear that entire mock draft? So let's get into this Twitter mock draft that I did Saturday, which has been a really fun exercise now for three weekends in a row. Started off in round one, and the big showdown here was CeeDee Lamb versus Henry Ruggs. And I really feel like if there's two wide receivers on the board, there's a good chance it's these two receivers and that Jerry Jeudy goes first. But I've been surprised before. Who knows? It could be the speed demon, Henry Ruggs, that goes first. There's a lot of people that really like CeeDee Lamb, and I could see some teams really falling in love with him, so maybe he goes first. But in this mock draft, and it was used, I used the mock draft machine from the Draft Network, and it was CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs, Javon Kinlaw, and CJ Henderson were the four best options that I threw out there, and I knew it was going to be the receivers, and it was a showdown. It was 41.1% of the vote to CeeDee Lamb, just edging out Henry Ruggs, who got 39.1. So 2% separated the 500 or so votes I was getting there. CeeDee Lamb is the pick for the 49ers at number 13, just edging out Henry Ruggs and in a landslide over defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina and C.J. Henderson, cornerback from Florida. If you don't know much about those prospects, they're all very good prospects. I could see any of them going as high as 13 for the 49ers. C.J. Henderson, 4.3 speed, can fly, one of the better cover corners, pure cover guys in this draft. Javon Kinlaw is probably the closest approximation of DeForest Buckner if you're trying for a one-for-one replacement of him. 6'6", long arms, 320 pounds, a little bit bigger, but probably doesn't play the run quite as well as DeForest Buckner did, but gets a little bit high and guards can get under him a little bit. But that was also Buckner's problem when he first came into the league. So similar players there. But CeeDee Lamb's the pick for the 49ers there in pick 31. There was a trade offer, and overwhelmingly people wanted to trade out of a spot where they could have gotten offensive tackle Josh Jones out of Houston, cornerback A.J. Terrell from Clemson, or the guy we just mentioned there, Ross Blacklock, defensive tackle out of TCU. In a landslide, Twitter voted for a trade, and I think at some point the folks out there just want a trade for the sake of a trade, because it wasn't a great deal. It was moving down 10 picks with Cleveland, get pick 97. I mean, it's a fine deal, but there are some good players on the board at 31, and I was surprised it was such a landslide for the trade. So what happened after the trade? Niners got a couple extra picks, or they got one extra pick, 97, and they moved down to 41 to get it at pick 41. It was Noah Igbinoghene, the cornerback from Auburn, who won this vote over LSU center Lloyd Cushenberry, Notre Dame edge rusher Julian Aguara, and Boise State offensive tackle Ezra Cleveland. And I hadn't even seen that those names were folks that were coming in to visit the 49ers yet. So I think there's some nice cohesion there with players that I thought might fit the 49ers in that range and players that the 49ers are looking at potentially in that range. Noah Igbinoghene is how you pronounce his name, or just Noah I from Auburn. He's got some speed. He's got some kick return skills, former wide receiver. A little bit shorter, I think, than the 49ers normally look for with the length they want at an outside corner. He's 5'10 and a half, but he's thickly built, 200 pounds, and an explosive guy, a little bit raw. I think there's more to come with him, but explosive Noah I, not a bad pick, but I might have just stuck there and gone with the offensive tackle. I might have taken the offensive tackle Cleveland at 41 too. So some interesting selections by the Twitterverse there. Pick 97 in round 3. Twitter went with the wide receiver that might become a tight end in the NFL, Chase Claypool, who had a fantastic combine. I think Claypool just has a better PR guy. I think that was one of the big reasons why he won this vote, narrowly beating out Sadiq Charles, a tackle from LSU that I think will probably play guard in the NFL, also beating out another offensive lineman, Ben Bartsch, offensive tackle from St. John, and Daryl Taylor, defensive end from Tennessee, Chase Claypool from Notre Dame, the pick at number 97. And it's funny, the offensive lineman, all three times so far, getting voted down. Going into round 5, 156 overall, the 49ers select defensive tackle out of Arkansas, McTelvin Agim. He had 41% of the vote, beating out Kenny Willekes, the defensive end from Michigan State that the 49ers have brought in. Another guy the 49ers have brought in, Lynn Bowden, wide receiver slash running back slash kick returner from Kentucky, and Darrington Evans, the speedy running back from App State. In round 5, staying in round 5, 20 picks later, pick 176, the vote came down to a defensive end from South Carolina, DJ Wonnum, strong safety from Cal, Jalen Hawkins, and offensive tackle from SC State, Alex Taylor. Twitter voted for a different offensive tackle, Terrence Steele from Texas Tech. He won with 35.3% of the vote, a little bit closer here, just edging out a guy who I think is a better pick. So Twitter, you blew this one. Alex Taylor, I think I like more than Terrence Steele, but it was Steele that had 5% more of the vote than Alex Taylor, and he was the pick at 176 overall. Moving down to round 6, pick 210, Trevis Gibson, defensive end from Tulsa, who's a toolsy guy that I really like. Long-armed, but powerful edge rusher that can get after the quarterback. Nice pick here, I think, by Twitter, redeeming themselves. He narrowly beats out Jalen Hawkins, again, the strong safety from Cal, who is still on the board. Brian Cole, strong safety from Mississippi State. And Michael Walker, linebacker from Fresno State. Hawkins still on the board again, seven picks later at the top of the seventh round at 217. So Hawkins was then the choice. And that brings us to the final selection, pick 245 at the end of round seven. Keith Ishmael, center from San Diego State, won the vote over nose tackle Benito Jones from Ole Miss, Adrian Killens, running back slash kick returner from University of Central Florida, and Tipa Galea, a defensive end pass rusher who I really like from Utah State. So that was Twitter quarantine mock draft version number three, as voted on by you guys that follow me on Twitter. And if you're not following me on Twitter, at BD Peacock is where you can find me. We'll do it again Saturday. Log on Saturday morning and we're going to do it again. And need more votes, and I need more sane people, some people that are crunching that film to make some votes here. Again, here was version three of the Twitter quarantine mock. It was CeeDee Lamb round one, Noah Igbinoghene, corner from Auburn round two, Chase Claypool, wide receiver slash tight end round three. I like him better as a tight end. Round five, McTelvin Agim, defensive tackle from Arkansas. Second pick in round five, Terrence Steele, offensive tackle from Texas Tech. Round six, Trevis Gibson, defensive end from Tulsa. Round seven, Jalen Hawkins, strong safety from Cal. And last pick in round seven, Keith Ishmael, center from San Diego State. I'd give Twitter a C on this. I like Lamb. I have Lamb one spot ahead of Ruggs, so those guys are really close for me, and I can buy the argument for Ruggs and his speed at 13. Any of those three wide receivers I'd be fine with at that spot. I like Noah Igbinoghene. I don't know if he's the right fit for what the 49ers do on defense. Not a huge fan of Claypool as a wide receiver. Like him better potentially as a move tight end in the NFL. McTelvin Agim is sort of an underachiever. He's played a lot of football, but still only is able to earn a starting job for 1 year, even though he's a five-star recruit at Arkansas. A little bit of an underachiever there. Did not like the pick of Terrence Steele. Love the pick of Trevis Gibson in round six, defensive end there, so nicely done. And I think some competitive players that could compete for a roster spot there in Jalen Hawkins and Keith Ishmael in round seven. So okay, overall, I think could probably have had a better haul, and I might have just not traded down and stuck there, gone Blacklock or gone Josh Jones at the end of round one. Then maybe try to make up for it later with a corner at one of those other spots. Let's see. We have a second. Okay, really quick, let's take a quick peek at the Draft Network's latest mock draft. This one from Joe Marino, who is the host, co-host of Draft Dudes podcast here on the network. Also hosts Locked On Bills. So a busy man doing tons of draft work right now. He's also a new father. So even if there wasn't a quarantine going on, I have a feeling Joe would be trapped indoors this time of year as he works toward the draft. It's a three-round mock. Niners with two first-round picks. Don't have a pick in the second or third, so we don't have to go that far. He had the 49ers selecting CeeDee Lamb at number 13. And at 31, Ross Blacklock. And I think that's going to be a name we're going to start to see a lot more at pick 31. It's a move that makes sense. He's athletic. He can replace a lot of, I think, DeForest Buckner's pass rush ability. I'm still not sold on Blacklock as an every down player early in his career, at least as a run defender. Sometimes he looks good. Sometimes he's too easily pushed aside. He's only 290 pounds. So you don't want him to gain a bunch of weight and get big and then not have that explosive pass rush ability anymore either. So Ross Blacklock, not a perfect prospect, a player I like though. And I think the 30s is about the right spot for him. Someone who's definitely going to be in the mix, I think, for the 49ers at that selection if they want to try to replace some of the production from DeForest Buckner early in the draft. And I think a name that I'm surprised we haven't seen more of, and maybe we will start to see a lot more of now at pick 31 in mock drafts for the 49ers. Okay, that's all for today's show. Be back tomorrow. Hit the mailbag heavily. Tweet me at BD Peacock. I'll talk to you then right here, Locked On 49ers.